in the 29th Psalm. With the help and grace of God, share with you some things tonight from the Scripture. I thank you again for Sunday's beautiful gift. I am enjoying this Bible. It shall take me some time to familiarize myself with it, but it already has a few notes written down. And I'm perusing the pages, and so I thank you for it. It's a beautiful, beautiful Bible, and I should have, I said 10, the last one was falling apart several times. I don't know how many times I glued it, but I had it for 15 years, so anyway, this one here I ought to be good for twice that. Praise the Lord. The 29th Psalm in verse 3, the voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf. Lebanon and Sirion like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve and discovereth the forest. And in his temple doth everyone speak of his glory. Hallelujah. The Lord sitteth upon the flood. Yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Amen. Hallelujah. Would you just, you may be seated this evening. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank God for this wonderful word of the Lord to guide us. I'm glad I have the anchor of Scripture. Amen. To guide me in a dark and weary land in this hour. Amen. Sunday afternoon, we talked to you about the voice of God. The voice of God. And maybe by God's grace, finish that here this evening. But looking at this from the, we talked about the nature of the voice, and we shared with you how that the voice is distinct from the words spoken. We talked about how that the voice is recognized even before the words are recognized. That a child can recognize the voice of a mother or father, though they do not understand the words the mother and father are saying, they know the voice. Amen. We talked about how the voice reflects the spirit and the will of the speaker. And then we talked about the voice as it is unique to the speaker and various things we shared with you. Then we were talking about the power of the voice, the power to cause fear, the power to persuade, the power to bring joy, is where I finished up on Sunday afternoon. A few more notes about that, if I might. The power of the voice as being something that is distinct from the words that are spoken. I do not say that it is disconnected, all right? I do not say that the voice and the words are something and do not operate together, but no, very much so, the words and the voice operate in harmony, or should operate in harmony, so that the voice should match the words. And that's one of the reasons I believe when God gives a man a message, and a message is burning, it's a powerful message, you don't come and necessarily just whisper that. I was reading how often that word really occurs. I was doing some reading in the Scripture today, and I was looking again where this word voice appears, and I looked at that, how it talked about Elizabeth, and then other occasions in the Bible where it just talked about that they spoke with a loud voice. That when Jesus said, "Lazarus, come forth," he didn't whisper that. He didn't speak that in a monotone level. No, he lifted up his voice and said, "Lazarus, come forth."
There was some emotion with that. There was a command. There was some fire. There was some feeling that was coming with that. In other words, the voice that was loud gave emphasis to the words. And the voice is such that brought the words to and gave them a sense that this is a scenario or a situation where God's authority is sovereign and is reaching out to a world that's invisible and reaching all the way to the heart of the earth and finding that man Lazarus. And he heard that voice that was coming from the surface, and it reached all the way into the heart of the ears of that man while he was in paradise in Abraham's bosom. And I will tell you that voice is significant in being able to understand and know the words. The power of that voice, and how often it is that sometimes I think and know, it makes a little more sense to me as I have thought about this, that there are men out there that study God's word, and they teach God's word, but I'm convinced they don't know God. And I mean that. I'm just convinced they're not saved because they don't demonstrate anything of the Spirit. There's a sense that they know the words. I mean, you can get a lot out of a commentary. If you got some intellect, you can put things together. You can deduct things, and you can go through and get something out of a story, and you can draw some lessons. You can read a commentary and put some of those things together. But you know the words, but you don't know the voice. Because I will tell you, this word cannot truly be known apart from the Spirit of the living God. That's just the way that it is. And I'm convinced because there's always these little areas they get into. There's always these little things that they seem to get a hold of that just take them down a road that's false and a road that's ignorant. And I'm telling you, the fact is that they don't know God. Sometimes I think when I look around, when you really think about it, holiness Pentecostal people are a kind of a rarity. We're not on every street corner, amen. And I don't mean that to sound like anything, that we're something special or anything in that, but I'm telling you, there's a truth. Hey, we're not the ones that started it. We didn't found it. It came a long time before we did. What I preach today is preached 100 years ago in this nation. It was preached 150 years ago, and every one of these churches at one time years ago, in the Methodists and the Baptists, I'm telling you, there were things that they preached and taught with such fire and demonstration that are as much as we preach today.
Amen.
They've left their roots. And I share with you this sense of knowing the voice of God. I'll talk about that more in just a moment, but I want to bring that home. the power of this voice to garner attention. It can get your attention. Someone's voice can reel you in. Sometimes the voice that is familiar, it's an amazing thing. You can pick it out of a crowd. You can be in a crowd with several people, but hear a familiar voice, and all of a sudden you recognize it. In the words that got a hold of you, it was the sound of that voice that got a hold of you. John was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, the Bible said, and he heard a voice behind him speaking. He had told him, John, I want you to write a letter to the seven churches which are in Asia. And he named the seven churches, and John said, I turned to see the voice. He didn't say, I turned to hear a word. He didn't say, I turned to see the form, but I turned to see the voice, because the voice indicates a presence. The voice indicates somebody is there. The voice indicates something to me that there is something living that is there, and I want to attach myself to that. I want to be in the presence of that. Or if I'm afraid of it, or I don't want to be with it, I want to run from it and escape it, as Adam wanted to escape the voice of God in the garden. Now I know more about this, and I don't have time to recap all we shared on Sunday afternoon, but that is important for how that voice can get your attention, and how much more with the voice of God that can turn us and get us attention. And I'm telling you, God can make his voice heard in the midst of anywhere. No matter where we're at, the voice of God can ring out and get our attention. Fifthly, this is the power of the voice to calm. I think about this many times. I thought about Elijah Elijah when he was on that mountain where later Moses would come to in Horeb. And there on that mountain he would come, or earlier rather, not later, but earlier Moses came to it. And then Elijah would come to that same mountain. And he is distraught. He's disturbed within. He's been on a 40-day fast. And he's come from the fighting and killing the prophets of Baal and had a couple of meals for the last 40 days. And now he's on the mountaintop. He's in a cave. He's hiding out. He's been on the run from Jezebel. And quite frankly, things haven't went the way he thought they were going to go. He was looking for a great success and revival. And what he got was a people who simply didn't want to turn their hearts to God. And he got a nation that I don't know that he realized how deep Baalism had its roots in the hearts of those people. And their hearts were still hard. And after all that was said and done, there was no mass turn of the people unto God. And it was a terrible thing for him. But God's not done with them yet. And I'm going to tell you, until Jesus comes, God's not done with us. I don't know how much we may affect or how many we may touch, but I know God's got something yet to be done in Washington, North Carolina, and in the surrounding area where we're at. God's still got a work to be done.
Amen.
That the Bible's talked about how that an earthquake came, a fire came, a wind. God was not in any of these. Now, God sent them. I don't have any doubt that God sent them, but he didn't speak out of them. And then the Bible said there was a still, small voice. Not small in the sense that it was weak, but small in the sense that it wasn't loud. It was still, indicating it was calm. And that's what Elijah needed. His soul is in turmoil. His insides are just running crazy. He's been afraid. And then his cave that he's in, a fire is enveloping the front. And then an earthquake and a wind, and it shakes the place. And I'm telling you, sometimes, you know, we think there's times we need a shouting service. We need God to prod us. We need some shock. You know, sometimes you just wish you had a prod, a cattle prod, and just puts a shock to some folks. And we need that. But sometimes our souls are agitated, and we don't need a shout. We need a good cry in a corner. We need to just get somewhere and let God whisper in our ear and tell us something that speaks peace into our soul. What we need sometimes more than a word is the voice. Amen. It isn't just that we need a principle. Sometimes we know the principles. We know what we got to do. We know where we've got to go. But we need the assurance that the presence of God is with us, and the voice of God brings that assurance. Why didn't God speak with a loud voice to him? Why didn't God speak with a voice that was like the sound of many waters? He spoke in a still, small voice because that's what Elijah needed. He needed to hear the words in a calming, calming manner. I will never forget it. I know I've told it before, but how important this is. And I learned this, and it's something that the Lord has helped me with it many times to do. Sometimes I haven't always been successful in doing it. God's got to help you and get a hold of you. But I remember a situation when I was working in an office in a college years ago. And there was a young girl came in to sign up. And I don't know, I don't know if we'd messed up her bill or something. Something was wrong. And I actually think it ended up being it was something she'd done. But whatever it was, she was irate. I mean, she was just ballistic. She was just going off, and she was yelling, and I think she was doing some cussing and yelling at the secretaries, and I was taken back by it a little bit. You know, here comes this whippersnapper of a teenager in here, or early, late teens, whatever, 19, maybe 18, 19 years old, and just really raking adults over the coals for whatever was going on. And I remember my boss going over to her. And you know, she's almost screaming. And I just watched him, and he went over there, and he put his voice just barely above a whisper. And because she would have to strain to hear that voice. And she had to shut her mouth in order to hear what he was saying. And through that, he got her to calm down. And he took her over and set her down. And he just lowered his voice so that she, and it forced her to lower hers. And many times I've had to talk to folks that are like that. And you have to say, hey, wait a minute here. Let's just find some place that we can just talk about this and get where, so we can get our feelings calmed down, so reason can make some headway in this situation, because the feelings are out of control. I'm telling you, folks, if you went to that girl, the words matter no different in that situation. She ain't going to hear the words, but the voice made all the difference in the world. The level of that voice, the calmness of that voice, the stillness of it. Again, sometimes I say this, it's not a word from God I need, it's the voice of God that I need. It's not sometimes instruction that I need, it's just the sense of his presence. It's just the sense that he is with me. And then I gotta have that. I've gotta know that God is with me. There is no greater delight than to hear the voice of God. Woo! I want to tell you some things about the voice of God. Let's talk about this for a moment. God's voice, and I mentioned this about the voice in and of itself, but how much more so with God? God's voice is unique. Yes. Every human has a unique voice. Yes. We've said that. We sometimes can't tell the difference, but high-tech machinery can. Every human has a distinct voice. And God's voice is unique and distinct. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. And they follow me." I like it when the officers answered, "Never man spake like this man." Oh, there was a sense of confidence in his voice. There was a sense that when Jesus spoke, you just sat up and listened. I'm telling you, the words would grab you. But it wasn't just the words. It was the power of that voice. It was that projection as it came forth from the Spirit. Because when Jesus said something, he said it with meaning. He never played games with words. He wasn't out there to impress you with some rhetoric or some language. He wasn't out there to try to give you some sense that of his education and how much impress you with his knowledge. Every word he said had meaning and it had value, and it came from his heart. It came from his spirit unto you. And I'm telling you, you need to know this first and foremost, because you might be saying, "How can I know the voice of God? How can I hear the voice of God, Brother Woods?" Well, let me tell you something. First of all, God's voice is unique. There is no other voice like it. Woo, glory. And once you know that voice, you don't ever have to worry about it being imitated. The devil can't imitate the voice of God. No, sir, it cannot be stolen or taken away. God has a voice and has a sound like nobody else's sounds like. He is a unique God. He's the one and only God. He's the true God. And there is no voice like his. Learn it and listen to it. We've made a God in this world of many voices, but he doesn't have many voices. He has one. He has one voice, and it's true. Secondly, I want you to understand that God's voice is authoritative. You know, it's sometimes why parents struggle with their children. They struggle with discipline. They struggle with leading them. It's because when they give a command to their child, they speak to them as an equal instead of as an authority. You know, you can say, "Will you go and get that?" Or you can say, "Go get that." Children know if they got a back door or not. They know if you mean business or not. There's times I've seen it. I've watched some time with children. I've watched it numerous times. I've had some of those same occasions and different times. I've had, you know, you could watch it. Sometimes these children would be with you and you'd be somewhere, whatever, and they were fine.
until their parents showed up. As soon as their parents showed up, they went crazy. And you know all of it because they knew they could get away with it. They know who they can get away with. They know who they can push. They know who they can shove. They know who they can manipulate and get where they want to go. I'm telling you, but there is a voice. In that voice, when there's a sense of confidence in the spirit, when there's a knowledge in the soul, when there is a sense of who we are and where God has placed us. I mean, you're an authority as a mother and father. You look under your child and you say, that is not acceptable in this household. End of story. There's no debate. We're not going to discuss it. We're not going to take it to a committee. We're not going to bring the family together and talk about it. That's the end of the story. And you let them know there's no other option. I don't care how many arguments they come up with. I don't care if they call 911. It isn't going to make any difference. This is the way it's going to be in this house. And when God speaks, I'm telling you, He speaks with authority. He speaks with supreme authority to our life. God doesn't come to you in suggestive manners or manipulating ways or to try to win you through some kind of tone of voice or to get some smooth talker. God speaks and He speaks with authority. He says, this is it. This is the way that it goes. This is what's going to happen. This is what I want for you. This is what you need to do. Follow me here. Go there. Do this. None of that is bad. All of that is good because none can lead like God leads. That's what they said about Jesus. He taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. The Bible said in the Psalm 33, 8 through 9, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. He spoke. That's His voice. In Psalm 18 and 13, the Lord also thundered in the heavens and the highest gave His voice, hailstones and coals of fire. Woo, glory. That's authority. I would tell him, when God went in there and sent Moses in there, He said, you tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Pharaoh understood something. Why should I listen to the voice of the God, your God, the God of the Israelites? Why should I listen to the voice of that God? Pharaoh understood. You're not just dealing with Moses here. Moses didn't come in his own name. He came in the name of the I Am. He came in the name of Jehovah. You tell him that I Am has sent you. And he went in there in the name of that I Am. And Pharaoh knew he was refusing not the voice of Moses, but the authority of Almighty God. I'm telling you, when a man of God is under the unction and preaches the truth of God, he carries the authority of God's power.
Amen.
Moses spoke it, but it was authoritative. God's voice is authoritative. God's voice is mighty and majestic. His voice is never frail or weak. I've been there. How many folks you've seen a sick person, an aged person, and their voice is just weak? You almost have to whisper their words. It's a struggle to speak. That's never the case with God. No, that's never the case. Psalm 29 and 4, I read it in our text tonight. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is powerful. That's what we must understand, that it's mighty. It's always full of strength. It's confident and right. Can you hear that in the sound of a voice? You ever heard somebody say, I believe? But here, help my unbelief. Or have you ever heard someone that, you know, they say, I can do this. But there's some shakiness in the voice. The words are saying, I'm confident. The voice is saying, I got some doubts here.
Yeah.
The words say, let's go.
Yeah.
And the voice says, I'm not quite sure about this thing. That's never with God. No. His voice is powerful. Woo!
glory. I will tell you right now, God never second guesses anything. God never has to back up. He never has to say, well, I'm not sure about this, or maybe this isn't the best way, or I better think about this for a while. Everything's perfect. The minute it comes out of his lips, it is perfect. It's right. It doesn't need to be reconsidered. It doesn't need to be voted on. It doesn't need your approval. It doesn't need your stamp of authenticity. I'm telling you, God's voice is a powerful voice, and it's strong. When you are weak, you need to hear that voice that says, come on, fear not, be of good courage, be of good courage, and I will strengthen your heart. I've had that. Sometimes just a brother in the Lord, when you're struggling, just to hear the voice of a brother that's confident, a saint that's come through the fire, a saint that's been there and been through battles and difficulties and strains and struggles, and they just come in the room, and all of a sudden you're like, praise God, it's all right. We're going to be all right tonight. Hallelujah. So-and-so's here. We know that the service doesn't depend on them, but the voice projects that confidence. The voice projects that faith. How much more the voice of the Spirit? How much more the voice of God when he speaks in our midst? It strengthens us because his voice is powerful like the sound of many waters. It's mighty. It's majestic. It's powerful. And it's majestic. That's what he said. The Lord's voice is full of majesty. Here's where we've missed it today. In our culture. It makes me sick. The attitudes that are attributed to God. God is like a silly woman sometimes, or a silly man. We're losing manliness in this nation at such a rapid rate, it's unreal. It is unreal how quickly men are losing their masculinity in this nation. It's everywhere. It's why we have to be on the guard. And it's why in this church sometimes we have to do things to emphasize that. The churches are buying into this mess.
Yeah, you're right. That's true.
It's why I tell my grandson, I tell him all the time, you're a man, boy. You're a man, you're a man. Because this world will never confirm that. And this world will never affirm his masculinity. So the church better affirm it. Amen. We better affirm it in our children. You're a man, son, and men don't act like that. You're a lady, young girl, and this is the way you're going to comport yourself and act, because this is who you are and who God made you to be. But we have lost the majesty of God. You know, when kings speak, they ought to speak like kings. Jesus Christ is not a jester, a court jester. He's not a clown. All right, he doesn't come with some kind of a effeminate voice that is kind of silly or giggly-headed. He's not a goofball. He's full of dignity. Woo, hallelujah. He's full of majesty. And when he talks like a king. When he talks like God. So if you get some silly notion, it ain't the voice of God, all right? You get some notion to do something that's off color. You get some notion you want to do something that's base and lowly. It didn't come from God, who is full of majesty and holy and righteous. Glory to God. Because what he tells you with his voice will inspire you to step up. It'll inspire you to live right. It'll inspire you to be the best that you can be.
Hallelujah.
But we've made God like some giggly-headed teenager. He's silly. He goes along with our little games. He plays our little games. And he no longer is there a thunder from the pulpit. But the pulpit is now inhabited by sissies. And they just get up here and priss around in their tight jeans. And their little old glasses, everything. They look like their spiked hairdo. And look like a bunch of sissies. And that's the voice of God. Because I'm telling you, the pulpit makes a difference. Because of the man of God who speaks. God speaks by the prophets. God speaks by his servants. And it is the voice of God.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
When the pulpits are full of sissies, we have hurt that voice. We've given a wrong image to that voice.
Right.
Prance around.
weak and anemic, wave their little hand. And Pentecostals are eating it up like it was cotton candy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, come on
now. Oh, he can sing. I felt something.
Yeah.
I can give you some hot sauce and give you a bigger feeling than that. I can tell you that right now. You'll feel something.
Woo!
I'm not really concerned about what you feel. I'm telling you, the voice of God is majestic.
Amen.
There's a majesty to it.
Boy.
Woo, glory. That's something we're struggling with in our nation right now because of the leader. And I'm not trying to be critical here, but the leader of this nation doesn't sound like a leader. His voice doesn't have that voice and ring. Everybody knows that. They just don't want to admit it. But that office has lost its credibility in the sense because men no longer have the sense of stateliness of this office. This is high office. My words must be weighed. Who I am must be weighed. And somewhere there is a sense that if this is who you are, then speak like it. Oh, glory. We've got to speak like the men of God. John said, I'm a voice crying in the wilderness. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Where God has sent you to go, go. But reflect the majesty and never present God in some kind of weak, anemic view. God's voice is productive. He talked about in that psalm already, breaks the cedars, makes them skip like a calf, divides the flame, shakes the wilderness, makes the hinds the calf. I mean, they'll go into labor when God speaks and discovers the forest. I would tell you, God will open it up, the voice of God, just the very sound of it. When he came down on Sinai, it was like an exceeding loud trumpet that just sounded off. I mean, it echoed all the way. I'd like to know how far off they heard that thing. Woo, glory. I'm telling you, the voice of God shook that place. One thing them Jews that came away with that day, the voice might have terrified them, but one thing about it, they didn't come away with some concept that God is a little pansy and he's going to come down and play Scrabble with us at the end of the day. We're just going to have a good little time together. I'm going to tell you, this is a mighty God to be feared above all gods. This is a mighty God that when he speaks, something happens. When the voice of God goes out, in the beginning God made the heaven and the earth, and he said, and he said, and he said, let there be this and let there be that. That voice went out. And when that voice went out, something happened and something moved. He said, my word goeth forth out of my mouth. That means his voice. His voice, it shall not return void. It shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. And lastly, I want to say that God's voice is true. I told you how we can disguise our voices. We've played games on people sometimes that way. We've tried to make them think we're somebody we're not, you know. You've played those games before. Someone answers the telephone and you answer the telephone and you know who it is and you try to disguise your voice and, you know, make them think they got a hold of somebody else. You're playing games with them. Well, God will never do that, all right? Understand that. He doesn't do that. God cannot in any way feign or act a part. He is who he is always. And he can never change that. And I'm glad he cannot. I'm glad there's a rock. I'm glad that I know God never plays any games with me. I'm glad that I know that God's never joking or fooling around. He doesn't cut up. I'm glad for that because when he promises me something, I can take it to the bank. When he tells me something's going to happen, I can depend on it. Glory to God. I'm never going to wake up and say, and God's going to say it was all a joke. I just pulled it over on you. No, his voice is true. Whatever God says is going to happen, and it will never, ever fail. God's voice will never contradict his word. The voice represents the spirit, the word, the letter. There really is no contradiction between the letter and the spirit. And I submit to you, you'll never fully understand the letter until you have the spirit.
Amen.
It's just that way.
Yeah.
See, let me just pick up with this. I want to share with you a few things. There's been times I've felt a lot better, I'll tell you that. But knowing the voice of God, I'm just try to point you in that direction a little bit. I know God's voice is powerful. I said those things. Why? It's unique. You hear it. You know it. Yes. Nothing like it. It's distinct from every other thing. His voice is unique. It's powerful. It's mighty. It's not weak and silly. It's full of majesty, confidence, nobility. It's full of integrity. As someone that is in a high place of honor, as God is the highest, his voice is true. There's no contradiction in spirit. And but I want to know that voice, Brother Woods. How can I know it? Well, let's begin here with this. This is very simple. We know this, but it's what I said earlier. You can't know God's voice without first knowing God.
That's right.
Now, I understand you can hear the voice and you can know that God is real. There are a lot of people know God is real and they've heard his voice and they went to hell. All right, I understand that. I mean, God can make a sinner hear his voice. I know that. God can make his voice heard in whatever way he wants to make his voice heard. He can do that. But we're not talking about merely hearing it. We're talking about a communion that comes. We're talking about we want to walk with that voice. That's what the Bible said. The voice of the Lord came down. Oh, hallelujah. It was walking with him in the cool of the day. He said, I heard the voice walking. John said, I turned to see the voice because I want to be with that voice. They wanted to hear that voice. I can't imagine how when they got up every morning, the comfort of his voice. When they set off in the distance and they heard his voice in prayer, they might not even heard what he prayed, but they heard the voice. Oh, when he comes over the horizon, when Martha and Mary are sitting in the house and the brother is dead, and they said, come on. And when Martha comes out there, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. But the voice has arrived, and he brings calmness to the situation. He brings light and life to the situation. That's what we're after. We're not after just hearing God thunder. We're not after some kind of emotional experience. We want the presence of God in our life, and we want the direction of God in our life. We want to know his spirit. So we want to hear the word, and we want to know the spirit with which those words are being spoken to us. That's the voice. That's the voice. Talked a lot about that Sunday. Now, that voice in daily fellowship, you can't know it unless you have the spirit. Remember the story Samuel, how he had to learn that voice. He came, and you know the story. Three times or so, he hears the voice calling his name in the night, and he runs to Eli. What do you want? I didn't call you. Eli has been out of tune with things, and finally it dawns on him, God's talking to the boy. But Samuel didn't recognize the voice. He never heard that voice before. And now he's got to learn that voice. But that day, he got introduced to God. That day, he got introduced to the voice. And the Lord spoke to him and told him things. There's a verse in John 3, 6 through 8. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. This word sound is the same Greek word that's most frequently in the New Testament translated voice. You hear the voice of the wind. That's what he said. You hear the voice, but you don't know where the wind is going. You can't see it. You can hear the voice of the Spirit, though you cannot see him. That Spirit, matter of fact, it's the same word. Wind and Spirit are the very same word. And Jesus is letting them know that here's something that is true in the natural is also true in the spiritual. I cannot see the wind, but I can see what it does, and I can hear the voice of the wind. Woo, glory to God. And I cannot see Holy Ghost, but I can hear the voice of Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, God wants to talk to you. God
wants to talk to you, and you need to understand that. We can go days, it seems like, and folks don't struggle if they never hear the voice of God. I want to hear the voice. I want to hear the voice. I want to hear God say something. Let us have the Spirit. Fill me up with the Spirit. Let the Spirit abide and dwell in me, because I've got to hear the voice of God. Woo! He that is of God, Jesus said, heareth God's word. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. They were hearing what Jesus said, but they couldn't hear it because they were not of God. And I'm just telling you that when it comes down to this, you've got to know the Spirit. If you don't have the Spirit of God, that Holy Spirit, you'll miss the voice. You'll take the words and you will twist the words, and you'll give them the voice that you want. See, that's what we have to do. I told you, when we're reading, it's kind of like the difference between getting a letter and getting a phone call. All right, I get a letter, I know the person, I get the letter, and I'm reading the letter. But the way that was said, I can take that two ways. I can take that three ways. But if I hear her on the phone, and they tell me on the phone, the voice will tell me what they meant by that. The voice will tell me that they didn't mean to insult me. They just meant to explain something to me. The voice will tell me that they didn't mean that for us to harm, but they meant it to help. You miss the word if you don't know the voice. And if you have not the Spirit of God, you will not be able to truly know the Word of God and how it is. Amen. This is the letter. But how does it speak? When you read your Bible, it's what the Spirit's there for you. When you read your Bible, tell God, talk to me. Talk to me. And that scripture will resonate in your soul. You'll come to a place, it'll leap off the page. It leaps into your soul and spirit. Woo. And you get a hold of it and you say, oh, praise God. I heard that. Woo, that's what I needed. Yeah, that's what I needed to hear. And sometimes it ought to be thing for me. Sometimes there's not some great spiritual need. I just want to hear God tell me something. Tell me something that the Lord puts me in awe of your person. Tell me something that makes me just want to, Lord, jump up and shout right here. Tell me something that endears me and makes me closer to you. Tell me something, God, that's going to just thrill my inner being, Lord, that I can be like you. Tell me, God, something else. Speak to me. God speaks by taking the letter and giving life to the letter and placing it in your spirit. Ooh, writing it in your mind and writing it in your heart. Glory to the Lamb of God. Let me tell you something. You can be unsaved and not know it. But you can't be saved and not know it. All right? Yes, sir. You understand that? You can be a sinner and not know you're a sinner in the sense that you've deceived yourself and you've lied to yourself. But you can't be a Christian and not know it. I'm going to tell you, don't you think that the universe, the God of the universe, the eternal God, is able to make himself known unto you? Oh, don't you think that when he comes into your house, there's such a uniqueness and majesty and power and authority and uniqueness about his voice? I immediately know who it is. Nobody has to tell me. God doesn't need an introduction. He will come and speak to you, and you will know that it's his voice. That heart, that spirit, you got to get to know. You will have to read. You have to get the Holy Ghost in you. That begins, that starts when you're saved. The moment you're saved, the Spirit of God comes to live in you. But don't stop there, get full of him.
That's right. Amen.
I mean, get it oozing out of you until you're full of the Holy Ghost. And I've said this before, but some folks really struggle with this. People that read history, and they look at some of these men like Wesley or Finney or some of these others, and, well, Brother Hood,
They weren't Pentecostals like you. Don't read where they spoke in tongues. And look what they did. So be it. God's a gracious God. But read some more about their life. You'll find out in many of their decisions they struggled. They struggled finding the mind of God. They would cast lots. They would do different things to try to determine which way to go, because they didn't have that fullness of power. Imagine what they could have done had they been full of the Holy Ghost. That's what you ought to say, is not what they did, but what they could have done had they been full of the Holy Ghost. But being full of the Holy Ghost don't make you a spiritual giant. That's just where God wants you to live. That's how He can deal with you and walk with you and talk with you. He wants you full of Him. He wants to fill every aspect of your life. He wants to fill you to the tips of your toes, because He wants to be in you. Woo! Glory to God. And you got to have that flowing in you. And you got to know the spirit and the tenor of Scripture. That's why I say, folks, that they read this Bible like it's a fairy tale book. It's a book of myths and legends. And they read this thing like it's just a Sunday school course book, and it's not the book of life or the book of God. I take it all literal. It's God's word. I take it as inspired, inerrant, infallible. It is right. It is real. It's some fairy tale, and something you can just read like a history book and twist it aside the way you want to twist it aside. They don't have God's spirit. Second thing is, you got to have a heart for truth. You can't never hear God's voice and have that voice walk with you unless you're willing to walk in the light. If you ever want to hide anything in your life, forget it. You're going nowhere with God. He said that if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And He talks about how that God will, His blood will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen? That's what He will do. He will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, John said, we've spent time with Him and can tell you God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. You've got to have, and I preach this at General Assembly, but you've got to have fundamental in your life that you want the truth. You want the light. You want openness. You want transparency. You've got nothing to hide. You've got nothing to shove back in a corner. You've got nothing that you want to just keep off to yourself. No little secret room that you want to keep in your heart that just is just mine. You can't touch that, God. Then you're out, my friend. You can't walk with God, because I'm telling you, God is not a God that's going to let you have a little space of ground, because that's some space that you won't keep it too long until the devil gets a hold of it. Yes, sir. That squatter will come in and lay hold of that territory, and before you know it, he's got a foothold and a stranglehold in your life, and is going to pull you away from God. All territory must be surrendered to Jesus Christ. That's why people can't, they misconstrue the voice, because they don't want truth. Christianity is nothing more than a game to help them get something somewhere in life that they want to get to. He said, harden not your hearts. Today, if you'll hear His voice, harden not your hearts. You got to have a heart that is free from prejudice and ready to receive Him. The truth of God. Now, let me say something here. God speaks. Jesus said, everyone that's of the truth hears My voice. That's what He said. If you can't hear the voice, you're not of the truth. If you go to the Bible wanting to hear something, that's what you'll hear. If you go to the Bible looking to find justification for something you want to do, that's what you'll find. Because that's what you're looking for. And the devil's a master at twisting Scripture. But if you go to the Bible to see what God says and what God wants, then that's what you'll hear. And if it contradicts you, you change. If it nails your hide to a wall, then you fix it. Amen. If it humbles you and you're embarrassed, you get over it.
and you move forward. That's what you do, because the truth wants that. It wants that kind of light. I'm just going to say it right here. Again, I want to emphasize that. The Bible talked about in Hebrews how that God in sundry times and divers manners spake unto those of old by the prophets. God spoke, that's his voice, by the prophets. But hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. All through the book of Hebrews, he talks about that he spoke by the prophets. Now he speaks by the Son. And then he's talked about his voice shaking the heavens, and now it's going to shake the earth. And we should not refuse that voice. But you know, this is a tremendous thing right here. It's a tremendous thing. It makes me shake to think about it. But sometimes, you know, that voice, I talked about it coming from the Scripture. God speaks. The Spirit will lift the words and put them into your spirit. And you'll know it. It's the voice of God. You'll recognize it. Anytime you hear a voice and it contradicts, you hear a voice, you hear some principle, some thought that comes to your mind. It sounds off in your mind, but then you hear a scripture that pops up that contradicts it. You listen to the scripture. That's the voice of God, all right? That other one was a voice to lead you astray. Because the voice of God will never contradict the word of God. It will never go against it. The sound of it is unique. But the prophets, they were the voice of God. God's ministers was also a way that God spoke to the people. He spoke, the Bible said, through his prophets. And then he spoke to us by his Son. Peter, there's a twofold thing to this. And I want you to see it for a moment. The first side is the listener. That when you're listening to a preaching message, we're not going to get anywhere on your part. Unless, number one, you have a heart for truth. Truth is preached, and you understand that it's not just a man's message.
Amen.
Is that biblical? 1 Thessalonians 2:13. This is what Paul said. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. It's not the preacher you're believing in, but you've got to see beyond the preacher, and you've got to, let me put this with it so I can bring it together. There's a part on the part of the preacher here as well. Peter mentions it in 1 Peter 4:11. He said, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Let him speak, if any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. So he said, if a man speaks, let him do it as the oracles of God. An oracle is, it comes from that word logos or logos, however you want to say it. And it is the idea of something spoken. It is that God brought the oracles to the fathers of the Old Testament. He spoke the word. An oracle would speak for God. And Peter said, when a man gets up to preach and he speaks the word, let him speak it as if he's the voice of God. Let him speak it as if it's God speaking. That doesn't make him a God. And he's mindful of that. But it means that he speaks with authority. It means he emphasizes where it needs to be emphasized. It means he speaks with passion. It's got to be real in his heart. Because when God speaks, he doesn't speak hypocritically. He doesn't speak falsely. He speaks what's real in his bosom. And when a man preaches, he loses all authority if he doesn't live what he preaches.
Amen. Come on.
Sometimes we've written too many messages off. God's been talking to us and talking to us, and all we saw was a preacher preaching, and we didn't hear the voice of God. Glory to God. Somewhere in the preaching, you got to hear from God. Somewhere in the preaching, it's got to be more than sermonizing. It's got to be more than a hallelujah. It's got to be that resonated. I heard that. That spoke to me. Oh, that's it right there. I felt that come. That was God talking to me. We get mad at the preacher, or we get glad at the preacher, one or the other. But what you've got to see beyond that is, did he speak the truth? Did he tell what was right? If he did, forgive them. That's all that matters. In my aging processes, in my experience with Christ, I want to do it better in my preaching. I want to be as convey it as it ought to be conveyed. But I'm never going to apologize for speaking the truth. And I got to speak truth no matter who it hits. I can't be preaching and say, uh-oh, I can't say that because I know that's going to get Brother John. Oops, I can't say that because I know that's going to hurt Brother Benny. I can't do that. I got to preach it. I got to preach it. I got to tell it the way God gives it. But I want to speak it with a dignity, knowing that I speak as an oracle of God. That's what Peter said. So let the pulpit have a passion and a dignity and a truth and a righteousness. And let the pew have a heart open and a mind open. It says, pour it in, God, and give it to me. And let me hear the voice of God. You don't have a message go by if it's anointed and it comes from the truth of God and His Word. You ought to have a message go by that doesn't find a landing point somewhere in your life. That something in that message broke in and said, that's me. That's me. Glory to God. I heard the voice of God. I heard the truth of God. God gave me the answer. I can take that and grow with it. It'll meet your devotional reading. You can read in the week and God will confirm it in the word that's preached in the message. God can speak to you during the week and the scripture leaps off the page and the preacher preaches and it's the same thing driven home to your heart. I'm telling you, that's the voice of God. It's never inconsistent. It'll bear witness again and again. Hear that voice and don't ever shut it down. And I'm going to close with this right here. You want to hear the voice of God, number one. Get His Spirit. Get in tune with it. Number two. Glory. Get your heart submissive. Get rid of the prejudice. And want nothing but truth. Don't have any thoughts that are preconceived that you're not willing to bow and submit to the authority of God's Word. Tear down any thought that's wrong, found to be contrary to God's word. Don't hesitate. Take an axe and cut that idol down. Don't hesitate. But finally, this is one that's hard for us today. One of the reasons we don't hear much of God's voice is because there's too much clamor around us. I know God can speak out of that, but you'll not hear it unless you're listening for it. You've got to have an atmosphere where God can speak. And where you can hear. You got to be ready to hear from God. And that heart has got to get rid of the callousness. He said, harden not your hearts. Hear His voice. Hear His voice. Harden not your heart. So in other words, if you harden your heart, you won't hear the voice. You understand what I'm saying? God on Sinai meant one thing to Moses. He meant something else to the nation. Moses heard the voice and was drawn to it. They heard the voice and wanted to run. Because they didn't hear what was in the voice. They heard thunder. They heard condemnation. That's what they heard. But Moses heard grace. Woo! Hallelujah. Moses heard glory. They heard shame and belittlement. But Moses heard something that was dignified and honorable. Oh, glory. Two people can listen to the same message. And one goes away distraught. And one goes away happy. One goes away angry. And one goes away lifted up. One goes away with being less. And another goes away building up. Why? Because one knows the voice and the other one doesn't. You've got to know the sound. What should sound like? Glory to God. I know, blessed are the people that know the joyful sound. In other words, if you want to hear God's voice, you need to silence some voices around you.
Amen. That's right.
You can't hear from God because there's too much clamor and din and speaking.
that's filling the air in your life. You'll have to turn something off. Even in your mind, your problems, your situations are clamoring for your attention. The cares are clamoring for your attention. They want your attention. They want to get it. And you can't hear from God because you're distraught and you can't wait on Him and you're impatient and you can't hear the voice. You know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to get convinced of this, number one. This isn't a guessing game. And number two, this isn't some God that's ugly and mean and I've just got to twist myself in some kind of a way until God has pity on me. I'm telling you, if you're His child, He wants to lead you. Amen. It's those that are led by the Spirit of the sons of God. Yes. Those that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. He wants to manifest Himself to you. He wants to talk to you. Yes. And you've got to get accustomed to that voice. You've got to learn and know it. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. You've got to get that voice leaping off the pages of the Scripture. You've got to hear it as the preacher is preaching and it resonates within your heart. And while you're walking along, sometimes it's an impression upon the soul and the spirit. But do what you know that God is speaking to you, and then it will make the voice stronger in your ears. Oh, glory to God. We live in a church world that has neglected the Spirit, and we've just got the letter, but the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. I want more than a message. I want the messenger. I want more than a word. I want the Holy Ghost that brings it. You got to learn to shut that mind down and say, God, talk to me. Talk to me. I'm here and I'm waiting and I want to hear your voice. Let there be no fear. You understand? How many times have you asked God for something and you were afraid it was going to be a no? And so you ask Him, but you're praying it's a yes. Oh, Lord, I really want this. Oh, Lord, I really... You're going to have a hard time hearing anything in that condition.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
But you're going to have to put all that aside. Get all that away. Separate yourself from that and say, all right, God, I'm yours. You help me here. You guide me. You give me understanding that I need. Now, you need to know this. You've got to have enough faith in you to believe, number one, that God will talk to you.
Yes.
Number two, that when He talks, He will make it clear that it's Him.
Yeah.
You'll have no trouble. If you really want the truth, you'll have no trouble hearing His voice.
Amen.
No one's going to explain it to you.
No.
You'll know it. You'll see it. Amen?
Yes.
You'll see it. That's it. I know that. That's the voice of God. I hear that. Praise the Lord. Church, we need a church that's got its spiritual ears open.
Amen.
And we hear the voice of God.
Yes.
What's His voice saying? We hear the word and it's just a message, but what is His voice saying? That's what we've got to communicate. And that's what we've got to hear.
Amen.
Along with the word of God. Would you stand to your feet? Hallelujah. This is not magical. There's no secret formula. I'm just telling you, God will make Himself known to you.
Yes.
And you won't have to doubt.
Amen.
If you're in doubt, there's a problem.
Yes. That's right.
Either you're not listening or you haven't heard. One or the other. But when God speaks and you hear it, there ought to be a confidence in your obedience. There ought to be a going forward and no looking back type mentality.
Amen.
And this is what God told me to do. If 45 people contradict me, I'm still going to do it because I know it's what God wants me to do. That's what you got to have because you've heard the voice. Glory to God. Would you just lift your hand and pray tonight? Father, in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, help us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
God, I want to hear that voice.
your presence. The voice is your presence, God. I want to shut down the voices, Lord. I got to hear the voice of God. I want to hear the voice of God. I want to know that voice more than ever. God.